Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life with best-selling author and coach Kathy Williams, a show to help you tap into the support of the universe and access the abundance that's available in every area of your life. Listen in for conversations and tools to create more ease, joy, and possibility with family, relationships, business, and living. Kathy's joyful perspective will help you tap into your own wisdom and create a life of presence and abundance your way. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or anytime on iTunes or at IOM FM.
Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. This is Kathy Williams, and I have a guest. Today, I'm so excited to play with Sophie Michelle on Being a Woman Today. Really, the conversation is about how we're like dandelions, which is so much fun. And before I welcome Sophie, who's a dear friend and a powerhouse mompreneur, she has two children and she travels around the world, which is pretty amazing. Facilitating classes and speaking. Sophie's funny, so I hope she weaves some of that in today because she really is funny. You know, with a background from corporate, from Rolex watch and the American funds, helping them revamp their workflow, to putting on events such as the Three Tenors concert in Paris. I mean, this woman has done a lot. So, and you know, there's the corporate, you know, efficient and effective and business side, and there's also the playful, humorous, womanly, feminine side as well to Sophie. So I'm excited to explore how we are like a dandelion, you know, one of the hardiest plants that grows where you like it and where you don't like it. Yeah, with a lot of healing properties too. So welcome to the show, Sophie. I'm so delighted that you're here with me today.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm so excited to be here because I love our conversation. So I wonder where we can go today.
I wonder. And, you know, it's interesting because you are the one who brought up this topic. How is a woman like a dandelion? And then I added the strong and wild part. And there are many other parts too. So I'm excited to see what we come up with and what we play with here. And I think we started already just in terms of like you and your presence in the corporate world, being effective, but also, you know, you're not just a lot of women I see right now, and my husband pointed this out to me last week, or, well, within this month anyway. He said, Kathy, sometimes I see you trying to do business like a man. And I was like, oh, how interesting. Can you elaborate? And he did. So what do you see about that?
No, Sophie? It's so true. So there's two things. First of all, you have to see, as much as we love your husband, he is a man. So that's a perfect man's, you know, comment.
Yes.
because they're so used to being among, like, there's a certain energy that they're being when they're among themselves. Then when men are among themselves, there's a very specific energy they're being. And so when a woman wants to come into that man's world, and so she has to, at the beginning, she has to play with that same energy. And it's awkward for men because they're not used to it. They're used to a very softer, more gentle energy. So it's both are required, and I don't think it's wrong or bad or better to be a male energy or a female energy. I think both are required. It also depends on situations. But I can tell that men are not comfortable when women are like them, because that's often not what they're used to, you know? And I want to point out something. So I was just talking to an ex-boyfriend of mine who told me, wow, you're so different than most women. And I was like, what do you mean by that? He says, most women will try to interact with me by playing weak or playing small so that I can come and save them, because this is a strong guy. So, you know, women expect him to come and be the strong and assertive man, but he's also a very sensitive person. So the reason we got together was because I was be like, dude, I like you. I want to be with you, you know, and that's it. And he really liked that about me. So I was being more the male energy when I showed up in front of him. And I realized, wow, I guess not a lot of women allow themselves to be both, to be the male energy and to be the female energy. Does that make sense?
Definitely. And, you know, all of us have all of it, whether, you know, we're in a male body and we're more masculine or more feminine and in different situations as well, right?
Yeah.
Or vice versa, in a female body with more masculine approach, either to business or to sex itself or mm-hmm. to even parenting. You know, I think we can mm-hmm. definitely see examples of parents who the man is more soft and nurturing in his approach, and the woman is a little bit, she plays a little bit more hardball. So,
Absolutely. Okay, so I would love to give a challenge to women out there who are listening to this, and to men too, if you're listening to this, which is to be everything. And I love the image of the dandelion, because the dandelion is one of those rare plants that you can use each part of it, whether it's the seed, the stem, the leaves, or the flowers. Each part of the dandelion has healing properties, you can eat some of it. So it has a function. And I think that's the case for people in general, each part of us. So whether we're using the male or the female energy, each part has a function and can be used at some point. So I would love to encourage people who are listening to this, and maybe they thought we were going to say, women, woo, power to the woman. And we're like, no, power to every single part of you, whether it's a male part or a female part. Give it, use it. Explore how you can use that in what part of your life. And if there's a part that's uncomfortable, challenge yourself to go use that part. Does that make sense?
I love that. Yeah. I mean, that challenge really opens us up to, well, how am I functioning? And what energy would create the greatest possibilities in this area? I mean, I was having a coaching conversation today with a couple of people in which, you know, they said, Kathy, how do you approach things? And I said, well, I just look for what's going to create the greatest possibilities. And I am sort of a softer person in my approach. I don't do a lot of strong talk, yet when it's required, I might, you know. And I gave the example of someone came to one of my classes last week, and he was a little bit antagonistic. You know, he would say, where do I place my hands? And I said, well, you have options. You know, you could do it this way, mirror the other person, because three of them were working together. So if she puts her hands on the recipient's legs, then you may like to, because then the recipient is going to have balance, you know. This was on a massage table. And he said, I don't like to mirror anyone. And I thought, okay, well, then you can do it this way if you prefer, you know. And he was just really antagonistic. So finally I said, you know, if you'd like to go wait in the car, you're welcome to. Right?
And
I had no point of view. You know, he can choose to be with us, but it's ruining other people's experience. Well, it's not ruining, but it's impacting their experience for him to be here and be antagonistic. So I gave him options, and it didn't matter to me what he chose. And that's part of the beauty of it. You know, not being angry about it or pushy. I was just the space for him to choose what works for him, but I'm not going to have him be in my class and be like that.
That's awesome. I love that.
And he changed.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. Very cool.
It's one of those moments. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No. I wonder. So that was not conflict. It was acknowledging what was and the possibilities, the other possibilities that were not yet. So, but a lot of people would see that as getting into conflict. And I think that's more a masculine way of looking at things, is like, oh, it's bad, it's conflictual. But as women, we're more about, no, what we're just going to say things as they are showing up, and we're going to look at what else we can create. So I love that way of handling things, but I know a lot of men don't necessarily think about that. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Yeah, and I think, again, if there's more space to it where I'm not upset with you, but you being here doesn't work for me if you're going to be like this.
Yeah.
Versus if I'd have been charged about it, if I've been upset or irritated with him, or, you know, that's where conflict really could have come in. Because people can sense the space. When you're spacious about it, right? Well, choose what works for you, dude. Go in the car or be up here. I don't care either way. Just choose. You know, it's so different from like, hey, you want to go in the car? Because you're not working for us. Yeah. It's different.
I would probably have said something like, I'm sorry, you paid this amount of money to be in class, so I thought you wanted me to teach you. I would have said something like that.
I love that too, you know? I'm always open to hearing other ways. Yeah. Well,
oh my Lord.
You know, returning to this dandelion image, you know, being able to use all of the qualities. I mean, the other aspect to dandelion, that is so useful. And then the other aspect is a lot of people don't like its presence, right? When it's there.
So
not everyone loves it.
Right. So I have dandelions in my front lawn right now, and I realize, oh, okay, so I'm supposed to remove those because they don't match the rest of the lawn, right?
Yeah.
So
it's
definitely like a dandelion is something that is useful and it's going to be there regardless whether you want it or not, but it's not necessarily going to look like it belongs there. And I think this is what one thing is as a woman, we have a tendency of being like, this is how I am. This is who I am. And I'm not going to wear a suit or change because you want me to. Or if we do, we're going to resent you for it. in fact, I have a very specific example of that. So in 2002, I was interviewing for my job at Rolex, and I remember my agent who sent me to the job interview said to me, please wear a skirt and nylon. And this was the middle of summer, so I was like, why in the world would I wear nylon to go to an interview? And he said, because that's what's expected of women, right? So if you know me, you know that if you expect something from me, I'm probably going to do the opposite. And therefore, I went in pants, in a pantsuit. And the head of HR, who was there during the interview, said she loved that about me because she knew that I had a backbone, basically. I had a personality, and I was not going to just be like every other woman in the office, which she needed somebody who had a strong personality. And so it was fascinating to me how, you know, a lot of people will try to make you fit in a box or in what they have defined is the right proper way. And then if you be you completely, and I could very well have gone with a skirt and nylons if I had thought it would create more for me, but it didn't. So
right.
So if you feel like it's going to create more, you can completely blend yourself, but you choose anyway. And I see that of dandelions too sometimes, because sometimes I won't see the dandelions until the little yellow flowers out. It will look like it's part of the grass, and then suddenly, boom, this little yellow flower is out, right? So,
well,
that's the beauty of it. It was, we can choose to blend in, or we can choose not to blend in.
Yeah, and I love that, too, because you weren't doing it from a place of being antagonistic. It was really more or less like, what's going to create greater here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the time I was young, so I may have been antagonistic, but it did create more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it did. And maybe you got lucky that way, or maybe you knew something there. But the point is, right? Yeah. And the point is to not choose because it's against what everyone else is choosing or
yeah.
tells you to do. But it's really being in the question of what is going to create more here and choosing that.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, yeah. your choice did that.
Yeah. But I don't know about you. I know that a lot. Oh, I guess we're.
Yep. We get to hear you right after the break.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. We'll be back in just a moment.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating radical abundance and access consciousness bars and foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule to connect with Kathy or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look. Flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom, Abundant Life, everyone. With me, Kathy Williams. and today's guest, Sophie Mihalko. And I love Sophie. I'm just so happy to have her on a guest, as a guest today on the show. And we're talking about, how is a woman like a dandelion? Strong, wild, resilient, all these just different qualities. And Sophie, you were finishing up a thought there or starting a new one when we went to break. So do you remember?
Yes. You were talking about how some people want to get rid of dandelions, or they don't necessarily like having dandelions. Well, and I agree. But sometimes I noticed for myself that at the beginning you may not want it, and so you try to get rid of it, but because it keeps coming back, you get used to it, and then you just live it. So it may take a process, and I feel like it's a little, if you look at the history of women, I think there's been a lot of conflicts in history about women and their power and their place in society. But we've come back, and today, whatever force was trying to be against us is gone. And today, women have room. Now, maybe not all situations. There may be some situations where the dandelions are still not completely supported. But at least there's a conversation about, oh, well, maybe dandelions are not so bad anymore, and maybe we can leave them in the garden. And what I've noticed for me, my grass has never been so green since I leave the dandelion in there. So
really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, my grass is a lot greener with the dandelions than when I take them out. It's almost like the grass is sad or something.
Interesting. So they actually seem to create greater health. For let's say the environment,
yes.
Society, if you wish. Yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, yeah, that difference that they be. And you know, it's so interesting. Something that is often considered a weed or undesirable in a yard is also a symbol of hope and wishes and possibility. So isn't it funny, that juxtaposition of the two?
Yeah, absolutely. And the cool thing about dandelions is they'll go anywhere. So even if it's a piece of cement, but there's a little dirt in the piece of cement, they'll go there, and they'll go anywhere. So that's what I love about women, is you can put a woman anywhere in the world, whether it's a supportive environment or not, she will thrive. She will absolutely thrive if she, you know, finds the earth, then she'll thrive. So I love that image. In fact, I was told once that I was like a dandelion.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, somebody told me, and this was the first time they met me, but they're like, you look like a fragile flower, but you're so strong they can't get rid of you. And I was like, how do you know that about me? So, yeah.
And that's the first time they met you.
That was the first time they met me. And I swear, I was like, what? I felt like it was almost like a prophetic word or something, you know, that they came and said that to me. But it definitely gave me reassurance that being who I was fine and okay. Like, I didn't need to be weaker. I could continue to be stronger because people saw that. And it allowed me to continue to be and create and do and live. So this was very, I mean, I was not supposed to live when I was born. I was too weak, supposedly. They told my grandfather I was going to die in the first month of my birth. And my grandfather said, nope, I don't think so. And so it's interesting, that idea of resilience that women have. Of like, oh, we're here. Yeah, we're going to be here for a while. Don't worry about us. We'll be here. Like, you can try to take us out, but we'll be here. You can't really do without us.
It's true. Yeah.
And I want to say, because there is a part of me that does not like to separate men and women. So there is a part of me that likes to say, oh, don't worry, man, you have that in you as well. And I know that there is also a time for celebrating who we are, right? So if you are a woman and you're listening to this conversation, I hope that you can find the energy to keep going, no matter how concrete this or how solid the things are around you. There is somewhere where you can plant your seed and grow. And so I hope that any woman who feels like she doesn't have that earth, that fertile earth yet, will find it.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, there are a couple of things I want to point on here. And one is the what you said about not separating men and women. And I think that's done a lot, where it becomes an us yeah. versus them type of thing, instead of recognizing that, wow, each of us really is on a continuum of feminine to masculine qualities. And mm-hmm. None of us lies like, I'm just a female or I'm just a male. You know, I mean, our bodies may be that, but like the characteristics and the nurturing or the, you know, the protecting or whatever it is, it's like we have all of it. And in different situations, we're going to express, you know, more of the feminine nature, more of the masculine nature, you know, according to what experience or situation is arising. So I yep. love this, because we are talking about, oh, what kind of qualities does a woman have? And I agree. I don't like the separation where it becomes, yeah. you know, this is the, like, you know, men don't have this or we're better. No, there are certain things women can do that men can't, like have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are certain ways that our brains are different, you know, diffuse yeah. awareness and you know, good gatherers, good at finding things versus more one thing at a time awareness, which mm-hmm. more men tend to hide. But one is not mm-hmm. better. They're just different.
No.
So absolutely. That was the first thing I wanted to just, you know, draw out a little bit more. And then there was one more, but I think it just flew away. I know.
Giving hope to women?
Yeah, well, it was that you were talking, Sophie, about, you know, feeling the earth and being yes. planted in a way. And that has to do, I know a lot of people like or don't like the word grounding, but like being here right now and knowing that you're supported, right? Mm-hmm. And not just by the people around you, because we may not be feeling supported by the people around us, but like recognizing that even just to have lunch today required so many things to come together. You know, I mean, so many forces that we never even think of. Like if you have a sandwich, right? Someone grew the grain that's part of that bread. And not only that, but someone created the vehicle. Like lots of people created the vehicle that harvested the grain. And then someone put tires on the vehicle that brought the grain to, you know, be processed. And like all these different things, or for a tomato, that one tomato seed had to grow and be nurtured and all of it, you know, and then whether you bought it at a store or a farmer's market, you know, hundreds of people were involved in getting you your meal, your last meal so far, whatever it was. And so we don't even think of that. We just, you know, open the refrigerator and get the pieces out and create the sandwich. But we don't look at like all the things, all the many, many ways we're supported beyond, you know, where our conscious mind takes us.
I agree. Okay. So I want to share something with you. Because being a woman, for me, when you were talking about, like, your husband saying, oh, you try to do business like a man
yeah.
instead of like a woman. And I want to also say, being a woman in a men's world also has its advantages. So when I was in production, I often only worked with men. So I had men, a lot of men around me, and I would easily find myself in meetings with just men. And what I noticed is I never tried to be like a man. So I would let them feel like they were in charge and, you know, and talk to me like I didn't know anything. Not that all men do that, but these men did. I would let them do that, right, do that. But what happened in exchange is they treated me with such kindness, and they treated me like they had to protect me. They had to take care of me. They had to go get my lunch and make sure I was getting to my hotel safe and all of that. So it really, because I allowed them to have that role of men, and I was a woman and they were a man, and I gave them the chance to do that, it created so much for me and for them. So that's something that I want to mention is, as a woman, you know, we are afraid. We are afraid of how men can take care of, can take advantage of us, or how they don't see us as their equal. But if we truly own and embody being a woman, oh my gosh, men get to show up as men, and what gets created is amazing and beautiful.
So I love that you brought this piece.
Throw that out there.
Yes. Thank you. And for me, Alison Armstrong's work has been a huge gift in that regard. She has some books. Gosh, I think one is called The Queen's Code. But she really has studied men and women for over a decade, I think two now, although I'm not sure exactly. And weaving some of that in where it's like, oh, you look strong. Would you lift this bag for me?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really actually helps me get what I would like and helps them feel appreciated and recognized and all of this. And honestly, I was one of these people who was like, oh no, I can do it. No problem. Uh-huh. I don't need your help, you know?
Yeah.
And her work helped shift my perspective. And that has created so much for me. It's really fun and beautiful. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, man. I love being a woman. And, you know, recently I hurt my knee. So I had to walk really slowly. And I traveled with my knee hurt. So I had a cane and everything. And at the airport, it was amazing how men were, oh, can I get you anything? Can I take care of you? Can I lift this for you? It was just phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal. And not that we would not do the same for a man, but it's really nice to know that when I allow myself to be me, then it's also allowing other people to be them. So when you allow yourself to be a woman, you're giving a chance to a man to be a man, and vice versa. It's a beautiful thing, and it doesn't even need to be spoken or acknowledged. It just is. And I love that.
Well, and you know, I mean, you gave someone the opportunity or possibility of giving to you, of helping you. And that's not only, you know, good for the person giving and receiving, but actually there have been studies done in which, you know, when people observe that kind of gifting and receiving behavior, their neurons, their brains change as well. So it's like the serotonin bath. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's one of the things, I wanted to bring this in because you wrote it in the description, and you said it's something about acknowledging all of our parts, even the ones we made secret.
Yeah.
So would you talk a little bit about that? And maybe during the break, which will come in a few minutes, maybe people can start to explore that. What have I made secret?
I know that I'm somebody who loves to love. So I love to love. And I made that wrong for a long time because I thought that meant that, okay, so I love to love looked like unrequited love for a long time for me. So it looked like somebody didn't love me back. I didn't realize that they did. They just showed it very differently than I did. But the secret part is that I thought it was codependency. I was trying to hide how much I love to love until, very recently where I was like, wow, this is me. And the love that I give to people, actually, even if they don't reciprocate it in any way, shape or form, it gives so much. Like, it gives so much to me because I get to express myself. It gives so much to them because they get to receive love. And it's beautiful. And there's no need on the other side. So that was, I don't know why I made it so secret for so long, but it was like a big aha moment for my life was to be, oh, wait a second. I love to love. Deal with it. And I tell I love you to a lot of people now because I do.
That's so sweet.
What's your secret? What's your secret, Kathy?
Oh my gosh. You know what? What is my secret? I mean, it's so funny how we hide things from ourselves, really. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how good I am with money and with creating. I mean, I didn't realize that wasn't everyone's reality, right? Until I started teaching a lot on the topic. And then I was like, whoa, that's really your reality?
Yeah.
You don't have to keep choosing that anymore. We can talk more about this and exploring this, our secret parts we have hidden from ourselves in just a moment. Thanks for being here with me, Sophie. And thanks for being here, listeners. We always love to hear from you, so you can hop on over to meetkathywilliams.com to give your suggestions for Sexy Mom Abundant Life Radio Show. Thanks a bunch.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating Radical Abundance and Access Consciousness Bars and Foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule, to connect with Kathy, or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life Radio Show with me, Kathy Williams, and my guest today, Sophie Mihalko. And we are having a fun conversation that has evolved into, what are you hiding from yourself? What secrets are you keeping even from you? And you know, as we were on break, Sophie, I was thinking about that in terms of qualities, or in terms of acknowledging us and the things about us, the qualities about us that maybe others see that we don't see. So I'm curious, how, if we're keeping a secret from ourselves, how would you suggest kind of divulging it or uncovering it?
Oh, okay. So you're gonna get one of my biggest teaching. I think it's mine.
Okay.
Everything that we want in life, Kathy, everything that we want in life, we already have or are. So every time that we say, oh, I wish I was more, you know, I wish I was more assertive. I wish I spoke more. I wish I was better at this, better at that. I wish, in order for us to say that, to do that, we have to know what it's like to have it, right? So we have to know what it's like to be more of that, to be that, to have that. And we cannot know that unless we already are it. So if you want to know the parts of you that you keep secret, you just have to look at what it is you say you want to be more of, or be, just be, that you think you're not yet. That's what you're keeping secret.
I love that. I love that because, I mean, first off, we were having a conversation one day and you helped me see that. And it was in regard to writing. And I said, every morning I get up and I have the message right. Like, I mean, it's very clearly in my awareness. And then I don't. And you were like, Kathy, you're already writing. Where are you writing? And I was like, oh, well, I'm writing emails. I'm writing notes. I write certain things. And so it's just a matter of like translating that and recognizing, hey, I am doing that in some capacity. But you know what? I'd also like to acknowledge, you know, when you see something in someone else, like maybe you, you're very willing in, you know, in my experience, and maybe this isn't in every area, but very willing to say things like they are, right? And if I admire you in that regard, then I can also start asking, well, where am I doing that? Where am I being it already? And so this this could relate to anything we see in anybody. You know, oh, I see this about Oprah I love, and then where am I being or doing it? And where can I also maybe expand that into my life? So thank you for that. Is there
That was to answer your question about how do we discover what we've made secret, right? So it's to really look at what it is we think we're missing. That's what we've made secret. But for those of you who are interested in not making it secret anymore, it's the acknowledgement. So once we acknowledge, oh, wait a second, I said I wanted to be a writer, but I am a writer. And from the moment you acknowledge it, then it's not secret anymore. And now it can be out in the world. So it is a two-step process, is to acknowledge all the parts that you've made secret by seeing what it is you think you don't have or you don't be. And then once you have find that out, go ahead and acknowledge that you already are that. And then you'll have it. It's so simple, but it's not necessarily easy because it really requires that you be honest with yourself. You are already everything that you want. Sorry.
Yeah. And where are you being that already? And where are you not seeing it? Because then it's like, oh, well, I could sprinkle that over into this area. for our, okay, I'm already it. So what would it take to expand this even more? And sometimes that does require learning a skill or practicing that skill. I'm thinking of, I'm in an acting group and we're going to perform the show Steel Magnolias. And,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so, you know, this what stimulated us to choose this show was the number of people in our group, but also my suggestion, because we were all women, and I had been, it had been suggested to me a couple years ago, Kathy, watch the movie Steel Magnolias 10 times. And 10 times is a lot. I, you know, it's funny because actually at first I was bored with the movie and by the end I was finding interesting nuances. But essentially my task in watching it 10 times was to find out which one I am. And of course you can't say, well, Kathy, you're just one of them because of course, like we've been talking about, each of us has qualities that are going to be, that are going to show up in each of these women, right? Like I could find ways I'm like the irritated one or ways I'm like the demure one or ways I'm like, you know. However, what the real task was looking for the character I'm like that I'm not willing to acknowledge I am like, right? The one I'm hiding from myself. And in the course of watching the movie 10 times, I actually didn't discover that one because I didn't realize, oh, it's the one you like the most. It's the character you like the most because she's funny. She's wise and a little bit like willing to create change where people are in their old pattern and she'll just make some comment to interrupt them. And for me, you know, I'm not always like that. So to watch the movie, I didn't see myself in her. And once I went and I talked about the movie with Gary Douglas, who had suggested that movie to me, he said, yeah, you like her the most because you are her. And it's, you're unwilling to be that or see that in yourself. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So,
that's awesome.
But So in the acting class, what made me think of this is because there are people who will be in a show, not in our group or our sessions, but the coach said, I know a guy who doesn't practice. He just puts the script under his pillow and thinks that will work. And it actually doesn't. So it's like if we want to cultivate something in ourselves, there might actually be steps to go through. And I'd love to ask you about that because I know that you have done a lot of speaking and speaking practice and in the past couple of years. So tell me about like cultivating that and what's that like for you?
Okay, so which part did you want to cultivate?
Well, you know what? I mean, I think a lot of times we think, oh, I'm practicing this skill, but, you know, really taking the time to be with it and refine it and make it better in order to be the best you can.
Okay, so I have a little different process. I always start with the end in mind. So I very rarely start with, like, I'm a beginner at this, I'm learning this. It may work for some people. For me, it scares a little bit too, it scares me too much. So what I do is I start, okay, if I had done 50 speeches already, how would I deliver this speech, right? So it's more, okay, let's say that I already am a seasoned, you know, public speaker. Then how would I do the speech? It's a very different energy for me. And it allows me to pull out all that I know and all that I be and everything that I don't dare to do if I was a beginner and I was hesitant, I would not dare to do some things. So it's easier if I just imagine I'm seasoned. I know I've got this. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love that. And that ties right in with, what are you already? You know, what are you keeping secret from yourself? Well, my amazing speaking skills. How cool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is true. We already do know everything. We just pretend that we don't. And for some of us, it's fun to be like, oh, I'm just going to learn this skill. And so we're like, okay, I'm a beginner. I'm going to start there and there and there. And if that's fun for you, go for it. Like, just, find some practical exercises and go do it. And then for me, I guess I'm impatient and I want to be there already. And I love knowing that I already know something, that I'm good at something. So I much prefer be like, okay, so I do this in my home. Like, I don't necessarily go out and tell people I've been, a public speaker for 20 years. I don't tell them that, but in my home, when I'm practicing and I'm rehearsing and all of that, then I'll be like, okay, I'm better than Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins and I, we've been on stages. We know each other. No big deal. I can do this, right? And then boom, I start. Now that's a very different energy. And what happened for me, Cassie, is I was doing this speech one day at a competition, actually. And the people that were organizing the competition really did not like me. They actually tried to kick me out of the competition. So I had to fight teeth and nails to be in there. And I decided, I'm just going to have fun with this. And I'm going to go be as silly as I want to be because I've got this. So that's what I did. I went and, man, I pulled jokes out of, I don't know where they came from, to the point that this very seasoned speaker who had won an international competition came to me and be like, how long have you been doing this for? Like, he didn't know that I was just starting at the time because I didn't care. And I was just like, I'm just going to be me and have fun with it. And it was such an awesome experience to see the face of the people who were trying to kick me out of it because I didn't care at all. I was not impressed by them at all. It was really funny. Sorry. My little moment of gloating right there. If you really acknowledge you are kick-ass, you are amazing already, and anything you wish to do, you only wish to do it because you're great at it. If you were not great at it, you would not want to do this. Trust me. And I know it sounds weird. Like, my daughter is, she loves dancing, but she has a very unique way of moving her body. So it looks awkward when she dances with other people because she doesn't necessarily fit in the same mold than others. So her teacher gives her plenty of opportunities to do her own thing. And then when she does her own thing, it's beautiful because it's totally her and she gets to express herself completely. So it's fascinating to watch because when she's with others, it's like, oh yeah, that's awkward. But when she's by herself, it's amazing. So you're good at it. You're great at it. All of it. Everything. You're great at it.
Beautiful. And of course, if we're not feeling great at it, we can always ask some questions. Okay, what energy would I have to tap into? Or what energy can I tap into that's available here? Yeah. What else?
As an actor, if you're doing a role that is not you at all, you've never been that person or that history, you can ask, okay, everybody in the world who's been that character before, I'm tapping into their energy and I'm being that. So I'm almost like you're grabbing into the world let's say you have to be a homeless person and you've never been homeless. You're grabbing into all the people that have been homeless and you're bringing that to you. I promise you, you will become that homeless person because you're tapping into that.
I love that. I always ask to tap into anywhere I've been this in any lifetime. You know, it's like I've got experience somewhere. Let's bring it out. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We have just a couple of minutes left, and I would love first off to, you know, give a way for people to get in touch with you if they'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, the easiest way is to find me on Facebook. Now, there are two ways to find me on Facebook. If you want to do work individually, I am Sophie Mihalko, Mihalko, and you can find me on Facebook through that or via my website, sophiemihalko.com. But if you have an organization or a company and you would like me to come and speak or do workshops, which I also do, then that's Sophie Michelle. So SOPHIEMICHELE.com or also on Facebook, Sophie Michelle. And the reason I separate those two is because Mihalko is not easy for people to say when they introduce me. That's why it's Michelle when I've been introduced.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sophie. Thanks for being here with me. It's so much fun.
Thank you so much.
And thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can always find me at meetkathywilliams.com. And, of course, I love to hear from you. I love to hear your show ideas and your comments on the shows. And there's a shop there, too, and upcoming classes at meetkathywilliams.com. I'll be back here next Thursday. And in the meantime, you can hear us on YouTube, SoundCloud, and at iom.fm. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Aloha.